Okay. Before we begin, let's take a few moments to be quiet together. Good evening. And welcome to everyone who's joining us on the internet. Once again, we're not going to read from the book tonight. You know, when you're studying in school, biology or physics or whatever, you go into the classroom and you have bookwork, book learning. And then on a couple of other days during the week, you have a class, a lab class, where you do lab work, where you have practical, hands-on practice regarding or implementing the book learning that you did in class. Well, we've been doing a lot of book learning for a long time. And the last couple of weeks, we've been getting into lab work, the practical implementation, you might say, of the book learning. I mentioned last week that everyone right now has an incredible opportunity, which everyone might see as a disaster, but everyone has an incredible opportunity to participate in a conscious shift of perception. One that transforms, regenerates, and redeems creation. That's what happens when you do the two-step and when you yield to the Father's perspective. Now, I want to not sound severe, but I do want to make a point here. You are in a situation. There is a situation occurring in your world which requires attention, requires correction. It's a long way off for many, and it's right in your face for others. If it's afar off, you know, I encourage you not to treat it as though it's irrelevant to you. I encourage you to involve yourselves. Involve yourselves practically by making donations or contributions to help those who have experienced great and severe loss. But more than that, I want you to contribute your attention. I want you to contribute your attention with an awareness that it isn't just to those people out there. It's contributing your attention to your brothers, to your sisters, to your fellow man, to your family. And for you, just because there are no significant problems going on in your life, to engage frivolously and freely in activities without giving a second thought to part of your family who needs someone to witness for them, you are missing the point and you are neglecting your purpose. And you are, more than anything, missing out on a connection, a healing connection, and a connection of joy, and a connection of love, that it's your birthright to be experiencing. Now, for many years, it has become more obvious, more and more obvious, that you live in an interconnected world. It used to be when communication took time. It used to be that when communication took time, it felt as though Europe was on another planet, and there was no relationship, or another part of the world was somewhere else where there was no relationship. As the past 50 years have gone by, what's happened? Mankind has become more conscious of the interrelatedness, the interdependence, the involvement that everyone is inseparable from. And the tendency has been to try to keep the sense of separation going, the boundaries, the borders, the cultures, and so on, and still try to be different from, and not having to feel brotherly love for everyone else. And in spite of that tendency to hold on to past patterns, it has become increasingly clear that everyone is involved with everyone else, and each one's behavior has its impact. Nowadays, with what you call the economic crisis, it's obvious to you that one country can't do something economically without affecting another. And so there is a bond, there is a unity, whether it's liked or not. And now with the circumstance in Japan, it's obvious that the very air in which in which radioactive materials are spewing and circulating on the winds, well, that makes it clear as well that the air you breathe is the air everyone else breathes, and that what happens one place can happen another. Now, why am I saying this? I'm saying it because it really is time. The situation, the events demand that everybody become conscious of the relationship and not neglect the call to witness for your brother, which constitutes witnessing for yourself. You cannot neglect your brother and not neglect yourself as well. You know, I've shared a sentence. I wish to see the evidence of love. And another sentence. I wish to be the evidence of love. Two good practices. One expresses a willingness to see God out there. I wish to see the evidence of love. And the other is a desire to let God be present in you as you, so that you might be the presence of love. But in some ways, that's just a nice thing to think about. It's a nice, fuzzy, cozy, feeling message. Yes, I wish to see the evidence of love, and I wish to be the evidence of love. Well, here we are with the opportunity to see and be the evidence of love. What does that mean? It means that you're going to have to become involved. If you're going to be the evidence of love, not just the thinker of loving thoughts, your behavior is going to reflect an inner motive. And that inner motive is going to take your attention. And at the moment, it seems that attention takes time. So, you know, you can't be too casual about it, and it is going to require prioritizing how you're using your mind and where you're giving your attention. See, this is the meaning of I wish to be the evidence of love, or even I wish to see the evidence of love. Because it takes time, it takes involvement, it takes being consciously aware of that and not something else. Do you see how much I want for you to have the meaning of A Course in Miracles be translated into, and you might say internalized into, changed behavior, new attitudes? Because that's where the transformation and the healing and the correction of everything occurs. I know it's nice to have wonderful thoughts to think that don't take up too much time and can sort of be an energetic envelope that you move around in as you give your attention to other things. But you know what? If you're going to wake up and if you're going to experience the kingdom of heaven as what it is, instead of as the world and universe that you presently misperceive it as, you're going to have to love to look for the evidence of love, to look for the evidence of God, to expect to see the evidence of God. And not forget to do it because playing a video game is so much more involving, you see. Or whatever it might be. Now, you see, here's the work part of it and here's the wonder part of it. There's only one substance. Absolutely everything that exists is made up of one infinite substance. It's the substance out of which God creates everything. And that substance is the substance of God Himself. So God creates all that is out of the substance of His being, out of the substance of Himself. And the substance is spirit. And we've talked about this before, including last week. And yes, I will be repetitious tonight, but I'm going to amplify and embellish so there's more understanding. There is only one substance, and it is the substance that is spirit. When I say the substance of spirit, I mean the substance that is spirit. I'm going to ask, what is the substance of spirit? If you were to take that substance out of which God has made everything, which is spirit, what is its substance? Well, its substance is love. Its substance is love. That's why substance, spirit, is unified. That's why it is indivisible. That is why it is absolutely harmonious. That is why it is invulnerable. That is why it is omnipotent. That is why it is this and that and the other thing. We could go on and on. Now, it is also the meaning that you associate with emotion when you speak of love, caring, affection, the mental embrace with good feelings about what you're embracing. The substance of spirit is love. And so the substance of everything that you can see and feel, and even the things that you can't see and feel, are indivisible and are the presence of Vita, vital, love. Loving. Every single atom, every single molecule, every single thing that you can see and touch, I will tell you, is right now extending love to you and to everything else. You are constantly embraced by the love out of which everything has been created, and therefore you are being loved by everything created. There is absolutely nothing about substance, as I'm speaking of it, that can harm, because it is indivisible and therefore undivided. It therefore is incapable of being polarized. It is therefore, as I said, an infinite, absolute experience of harmony, rather like a symphony among other things. The music of the spheres you've heard of. It is a wonderful and true idea. So, we're talking about substance as it truly is. The substance of all creation, which is described as the kingdom of heaven, and is what I've been telling you, what is confronting you at this very moment. As you look at your computer, as you listen to your tape recorder or your CD player, as you sit in the chair and feel it supporting you, you see? Now, this self-same substance, when observed from a mind that is enjoying and practicing special relationships, appears to be a material world and universe. Remember, a special relationship is a relationship you have with something where God is not anywhere in the picture, where you are not looking with God, desiring to see the evidence of God, and where you are not attempting to be the presence of love, but where you're just being whatever you think you are, looking at whatever you think you're looking at, and coming to your own conclusions and definitions about it. That's a special relationship. It's a relationship that you, in your aloneness, it's a private relationship which you, in your aloneness, have with things, all of which have to be part of creation, because there's nowhere else to go to find things to have a special relationship with. Now, the problem is that when you choose to look at everything and have a special relationship with it, everything about that special relationship becomes destructive. Everything about your relationship with it becomes detrimental. Everything about it causes deterioration to occur. And so you constantly have to busy yourself to undo the deterioration or remain clear of the threat of harm, you see. Now, mind you, we're talking about the self-same substance. When you look at it with God, you see it as it truly is, the substance which is spirit, the substance of which is love, indivisible, infinite harmony. But when you look at that same aspect of creation, that same substance, independently, enjoying your right to determine what it is you're looking at, that very same substance loses its harmony. It loses its benignness. It becomes polarized, conflicted. It becomes dangerous. And as we've been saying, everything about the special relationship has as its goal your death, your demise. Strong words. But you have an answer. And we've been talking about it at length. It's called the two-step. It's called the holy instant. It's that place where you abandon your independence and you acknowledge your Father again and you reach for your Father again and you let the Father in the silence within you infill you with his perspective. You know what? The circumstances today call for your practice of the holy instant. It calls for transformation, regeneration, and redemption. It calls for being brought back to its spiritual original, as I said last week. And you're the one to do it. You're the one to do it because you know about doing it, because we've been talking about it. And now it's time for the lab work. Now it's time for you to take the time each day to remember to be the presence of love, to be the evidence of love, to be that which gives the attention necessary to say, I wish to see the evidence of love. I wish to see the evidence of God right there in those radioisotopes. Now, you've got to look at every aspect of substance that is occurring in Japan. The ones you're all familiar with, wood and nails and plaster and food and land and so on, as well as the radioactive materials, as well as the substance, the structures of the energy plants. And you've got to be willing to look at it and not react to what you think it is. Because I promise you, in many ways, you are being conditioned to fear the drifting of invisible, dangerous particles that can, because of their extreme negativity, you might say, their extreme destructiveness, cause you perhaps to lose your life, perhaps your children, perhaps your animals to become ill, and so on. And it's very much like, you know, when they say, okay, everyone, the swine flu is coming. Can't see it. But you become afraid of something invisible that comes on the breeze or comes in through the shipping lines and so on. You know? Do you think healing is a reality? Do you think correction that the Course talks about is something actual? It is. And what you need to know is that whether the invisible stuff drifting in is something that can't possibly kill you, just might inconvenience you for a while, or whether it's something that can kill you, it's still a misunderstanding of the one and only substance there is. It can grow in your thought when you think it's matter and not spirit, when you look at it and have no sense that what you're looking at has anything to do with God. You see? The substance of spirit is love, and the substance of matter is fear. You must use your mind. Consciously, in a way that is constructive, and stop using it in a way that your father did not create it to be used, which ends up causing you damage, heartache, injury, illness, and ultimately death. A death that's not real, because you immediately find that you haven't died at all, and the whole thing was a farce, you see, and that you didn't need to be as afraid of it as you were. In fact, you could have challenged it if you had known it couldn't really kill you. So, the call at the present time is for each of you to love your fellow man and your planet enough to embrace every aspect of it, every radioactive particle, and wish to see the evidence of God there, which would be the substance of love, which would have no polarities to it whatsoever, but which would be constituted of infinite harmony. If the most minuscule particle of creation embodies infinite harmony, can you get a sense of how powerful that harmony is? Not powerful over anything, but so powerful, so huge, that nothing could do anything to it, causing it to be an utterly, eternally permanent state of substance. Your mind, used well, is called upon today, now, 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 and tomorrow, and the next day. And you might think that's a lot of work, but I'm going to tell you something. It's utterly normal to you to be that conscious of the truth that consistently. It's actually abnormal for there to be any interruption or break in your consciousness of what truth is, or in your consciousness of your love for your fellow man. It's not necessary to abandon your love for your fellow man just because you're washing the dishes, or just because you have to mow the lawn. You see? This is simply a wonderful opportunity to begin to be the divine one you are, embodying and embracing everything about what you divinely are, so that it's not escaping you, and the perfection of being isn't escaping you. Is it becoming clearer to you that when you choose to believe that you're an independent agent who is not divine in any way, because you don't really have an actual connection with God, do you realize that that perspective is not only false, it is entirely detrimental to your peace and joy. And it squelches your conscious awareness of your divinity and keeps you in a frame of mind that will not reach out for anything better, which will simply wear itself down until you give up the ghost and die. It's time for the material world and universe to yield its negative, self-destroying attributes, to yield those up to the clarifying vision of the substance of spirit, which is love, being the beautiful, exquisite, utter harmony of everything, which is therefore eternally held in its unalterable perfection. In the apparent ineptitude of the handling of the situation in Japan, it could be easy to justify the problem. Well, what can we all expect? Nobody was using any intelligence. Nobody was using any foresight, blah, blah, blah. Well, wait a minute. That's a convenient way to curse them. But what about you? Well, you're having a problem with emphysema. Well, you know, if you hadn't smoked all those years, you wouldn't have any trouble with that. You know, I mean, after all, what do you expect? Come on. Don't engage in that kind of justification of illusion. You know, it doesn't matter how many mistakes were made. It doesn't matter how many cigarettes were smoked. The only substance there is of lungs or of atomic energy plants is spirit. That's the only thing it ever has been. That it seems to be destructive is something that calls for correction, a misperception that calls for correction. And correction is deserved because it wasn't established, the problem wasn't established by God. They say it may take months, blah, blah, blah. It may take years, blah, blah, blah. But to engage in the holy instant takes only a moment. And when you do become conscientious enough to engage in it, engage in it, engage in it, engage in it, you will find correction occurring instantaneously or so rapidly that it is obvious that the circumstance isn't bound by what you call physical processes. Reminding you, wonder of wonders, that there is a God. And what? And also God's co-creators, you. Hey, if you can choose to look at things all by yourself and see creation as a polarized death trap, And you can also look at creation with God and see the very same thing truly in its harmony and perfection, then you now know what your job as co-creator is. God moves, God speaks, and form appears. God moves, and the movement registers. The substance of it is infinite, harmonious motion, movement, being, indivisible, unpolarized, and you are there to recognize it for what it is, acknowledge it for what it is, confirm it for what it is. And when you do, the perfection of it is the only thing going on. But if you decide to have a private perception, a special relationship with it, that very same creation will seem to be ultimately killing. And in the meantime, difficult to say the least. So, when you're not performing your function, when you're not acting as co-creator, then the perfect pattern that the Father is being by his movement escapes you, and you suffer. You don't need to do this anymore. And whether the substance you seem to be suffering from or the damage caused by substances that you thought were matter, you have the opportunity, and I'm saying the demand, the call, to change your mind about it. You know what? Changing your mind doesn't mean that you have power to make good happen. But you know what? You have the power to abandon making distortions happen by behaving in a way that doesn't represent you truly, because you're not an independent agent for change or an independent anything. Now, there's another important point. You heard me say that the reactors are all made of the one substance, right? And so you might misunderstand what I'm saying and think that I'm saying that the use of atomic energy is appropriate, or that atomic energy itself is not a misperception that calls for correction. Be careful, because I promise you that once you see the substance of spirit, whether it's called uranium or plutonium or whatever, or just simple iron or snot, whatever it might be, when you see it as the substance that is spirit, love embodied, you will not be able to get power from matter, because matter will not be what you're working with. And because there's no polarity in the substance of spirit, I'll tell you what will happen. It will not take years to cool down a reactor by shutting it down. And the apparent destructive radioactivity emissions, radioactive emissions, will not take a certain number of years to become non-threatening, non-destructive. The illusion of polarity and the destructiveness of it will be gone. Interesting dilemma, right? Are you really going to want to look at the situation at hand and want to see the evidence of love there, the perfection of being, the harmony of being, the indivisibility and the incapacity to be polarized? Do you really want to see that so that the threat that is occurring will stop when it means that atomic energy gathered from the process of fission will no longer generate electricity because fission won't happen? Wow. Well, you better. Because I promise you that in the loss of that which you've felt was essential and the only way you could have comfort, in the loss of that, it will be replaced by comfort, harmony, that will not be threatenable, will not be vulnerable, will not be subject to deterioration or loss. So, we're talking about big things. Do you want to live in a world without polarities, without conflict, where being, infinitely speaking, moves in absolute, beautiful, awesome harmony? Well, I'm saying the call is here. Tomorrow, tonight, every day, no matter what you're confronted with, and all of you are confronted with dissonances and conflicts and things that could be improved, and all of the problems are justifiable and therefore not easily solvable, right? The secret is that the problems aren't happening out there. If they were, they are difficult to solve. But if they are in the perception, if they are in the way in which you are looking at everything, it's easily solvable and correctable. Because you can abandon your independent stance, and you can re-embrace your Father. And you can, with all genuineness, invite him back in and make room for him so that his perceptions infill you or illuminate in you that they are and always have been yours as well. And you just took a little vacation and pretended you could have some other perceptions. I can't say it too strongly. It's time to take hold of waking up. It's time to make a stand or take a stand. It's time to become definite about the truth that you've been studying about. And what better reason could you have to do it than that your brother needs it? And as you can see, your brother's need becomes your need. And so it's an utterly and simply intelligent thing to engage in. God moves. Creation is. And it wasn't designed to fail. Your waking up is ordained. And the correction of everything that has gone on here is ordained. Take hold of it this week. And I will continue to encourage you to not let go. Expect the unexpected. Expect the unbelievable. You can dare to watch for radioactivity to diminish just because it doesn't fulfill God's purpose. I love you all. And I will be with you, each and every one of you, as you do this. And the Holy Spirit, that which is nothing more than your right mind, stands with you as well in support of your coming back into your right mind. And I must say again that a damaged Japan, a damaged Chernobyl, a damaged body will not persist when you do this. Correction will occur. Redemption will occur. You want the whole ball of wax. You want the totality of it. Not just a blissfully happy mind that's just not bothered by a damaged Japan or a damaged ecosystem or whatever. You see? Take hold of the whole ball of wax. I love you, and I look forward to being with you next week.